York. On the road again. Morning again. It's always tempting. Sometimes on these recordings, these early morning walks, to talk about what I'm stuff around home. Like my daughter Sheena and sometimes we disagree on things. On things that are very passionate to us both. And I'm not going to use this particular venue to do that, or try not to. Because someday, you know, somebody might actually listen to these recordings. And think something bad about me, or about Shayna, concerning something in the past. I've been working on another booklet. It could become a book, I don't know. Whatever length it's going to be, it's going to be, and it's going to be out there, available. I don't think I've ever been too shy about my thought that we all have a social responsibility to participate in population and populating the earth. And that if we personally can't do it, I think it's a social responsibility to at least support those who do. As far as I know, a hard, glad requirement of perpetuating society is to say, you know, sorry, it's just, we have to have more children. We have to do our part individually. Either having children, I don't mean just one, two is not even sufficient. Three is probably the bare minimum to ensure that things keep going, and anything past three, I think you're a wonderful person and should be praised up and down for it. Now, I'm not a fan of welfare moms. I've worked in the interesting, but I would call it this, but here's what I call it, the welfare sector. I used to be a WIC nutritionist. Women, infants, and children. It was despairing to see and hear sometimes women going out and getting pregnant simply to get health benefits from the state, to get more money in a welfare check, that was bad to see. But, on the other hand, I didn't have a problem particularly with the efforts being made to make sure that babies were being born healthy and given maximum opportunities to have a good start, even in poverty. Now, I don't think that should be a function of government. I think there are other methods of getting this done. And not have to do it in that particular fashion. There's other ways to make sure that these things happen. Frankly, I think the LDS Church's way of doing it is accomplishes the same thing, and it's superior. I was just sitting here thinking, I said, wouldn't it be great if somebody at the grocery store behind you, someone was buying her WIC food? It's a very tight little program. An actual government program that I think, does more good than harm. I would be the first one to, if I have the opportunity, and if I have the money, I would say, you know what, put your WIC card away. I'll buy those WIC foods for you. You don't have to go screaming to government to get these things. If enough people did that at the grocery store, what a much more wonderful world it would be. But if the government's going to behave the way it does, I'd prefer programs like WIC to anything else. Anyway, it was sad to see the system gamed, and it is gamed, let's be honest. But I think the ultimate, there's, I guess, two I don't know how many different theories of thought there are, but I think and I would do this when I was a Wicked Nutritionist back in my 20s to tell people, you know, a 16-year-old girl's come in pregnant and I'd encourage them to be the best moms they could. So that's, at the very least, this is what we want from people. And if you're a good mom, I want you to have more children. Now, I also want you to marry. Couldn't say that. That was a little pushy. But, you know, since you're bringing this child into the world, let's do the best we can. If you want to give it up for adoption, great. And it brings to mind, remember this happening, one of the local Christian preachers had their daughter come in for WIC. You know, they came into the public health office to have a pregnancy test done, I guess, and they were immediately referred over to WIC. That's the standard procedure. Not a bad one, I think. So, the girl came once, got a first set of checks. You know, you schedule all the education stuff like that about how to, you know, this is a nutrition program, so the classes are mostly about prenatal, postnatal, infant, and young child nutrition. You know, and the enticement to get you to come to these things is the fact that you also get checks. Now, you can always just get the checks without the education. There's really no mechanism to force it. Some people did. Some people said, oh, you know, I'm really busy. I just barely had time. Just stop by here, forget my check, and go. Okay, yeah, yeah. First, after that, we started doing EBT cards. I was never a part of EBT cards, particularly. I was already gone from the system before that happened, which I think just kind of dumped the whole nutrition education side. It just became a food handout program. Not saying that that's bad. Not saying that that's bad at all. But, you know, you're going to tend to eat the food you have in the house. So if it's better food, you know, because it's junk. And if you're poor, you know, we're trying to make sure that you use your food vouchers for something better. Totally in favor of doing that. If you're going to be doing it this way, I'm not saying that I'm in favor of these sorts of welfare being done by the state. Much rather have a different sort of system to handle it. That's all we got, so. You accept that for what it is. It was interesting when the preacher's daughter came in, and we only saw her once, and she never came back, and then we found out later that she was back in school doing fine, everything great, everything wonderful, and we go, That family got an abortion. Christian preacher, probably trying to save his job, thinking that he was going to get fired because he was, because his daughter had sex out of wedlock and gotten pregnant. So, well, there's something that's pretty forgivable. But what ends up being worse is, and it says this in Scripture, all you want to say it, is the covering of sin. If you've done something wrong, don't cover it. It'll get you into more trouble. It'll provide you more problems. Because it did. It said now they have an abortion on their hands, on their consciences. You know, maybe they can see through that. They can continue to do it. At some point, it's going to come out, whether in this world or in the next. And, you know, I don't know what the punishment is for that. I would imagine it's not very pleasant. And I think murder, I don't know if God calls it murder, but I'm kind of a careful person in that I don't like to be in gray areas. I just don't like that. And I won't be myself. I will do the due diligence of what I need to do so that that people will not be confused. So I really want people coming back and saying, you didn't tell me this was a problem. You justified it in your own mind and I trusted you. Therefore, do this, you know. It's all your fault that I sinned. Okay, this is not hard. So, I'm not a gray area person. I avoid those areas. I don't know if it's murder or not, but in my own personal behavior, I'm going to act like it is. That I'm not even going to approach it. I play it safe. But that's me. I also say, you can do what you want. This is what I do. And I sleep at night. And I wake up in the morning with the confidence that I'm on the straight and narrow path. You know, I have no idea where you are. I am mortally afraid of being made a bishop. I will probably be hated. And I'll say, he is so strict. And you go, oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm strict with myself. And God asked me to test judgment on other people. I end up being strict with them. I just want to be on safer ground. I've done my walk. I'm here. It's another exciting day of consultants.
Pretty nice day, Lauren. Glad she's here.